We got more important things to do and accomplish here tonight. Go to Acts chapter 14 in verse 8. This is the second message in our series. I have no idea how long it's going to go. Sometimes I get told beforehand and sometimes I don't, and I just follow it and just go as I pray and see what the Holy Spirit has to say. But this is the second message in our series titled Faith for Healing. Excuse me. And so we're excited about this because healing is something that has been given to us by Him, that's available to us. Amen. You know, God's not okay with you being on medication. You know, and I'm not saying He's against it. That's not what I mean. But God would rather that you're not. God's not okay that you have incurable things and have to go to therapy and rehab for those things and have chronic pain and condition. You might be okay with that. Your Father's not okay with that. He likes you to be completely healed and whole. Amen. He wants nothing to be wrong with you. You know, when I think about my kids, I don't want anything off in their lives. I know they're going to have tests and trials. I know they're going to have things that come against them, but I'm going to be right there to help them smooth those things out, to get victory over those things. I don't want them to wallow around in those things. And God doesn't want it either. And unfortunately, in our society, and we'll deal with some of these things, there's norms that we have accepted as believers that are not norms to Him. It's not normal in heaven for sickness. It's not normal in heaven for medication. That's abnormal. That doesn't exist there. That's foreign to them, amen? To us down here, you know, it's just we adopt these natural things and just, well, that's just the way it has to be. But if that's what the Word says it has to be that way, then so be it. But that's not what my Bible tells me it has to be that way. So, Father, help us tonight in this message. Help us to get across what the Spirit's been impressing upon my spirit to say. Father, I don't want to get in the way tonight, and so may I speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, may your words be spoken, that may your deeds be done. Father, we need to hear from heaven, not man's plans, ideas, thoughts, opinions, theories, or philosophies. Lord, we need boldness and utterance from you. And so, Father, I thank you. Just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. I thank you I'll speak words in season, Father. I thank you that things will come out of my mouth that will strike bullseyes in people's hearts. It'll cause them to grow, cause them to go forward into a new level and a new place with you. And Father, you'll get the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Acts chapter 14, we looked at this story last week. And trying to get a point across about faith for healing. And we'll just read just a few verses here to review and look at a few different places. But it says, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who never had walked. This is a little more than a headache. This is a little more than the flu bug or the common cold here. And we're talking about something major in somebody's life that has affected every area of their life. And it says that same person heard Paul speak. Now in verse 7 it talks about that the things that Paul was speaking were the gospel. He was preaching the word. The same heard Paul speak, who Paul steadfastly beholding this crippled man and perceiving that this man had faith to be healed. Hallelujah. Said with a loud voice, stand up right on your feet. And he leapt and he walked. Praise God. So here's a terrible condition, a condition that's affected his whole life. Again, not something we consider minor on the scale of miracles or healings, something major, something life-altering, something that's a little more than just annoying. But we see something here that the man's life was changed, and it wasn't because of the pastor's faith. Wasn't because of Paul's faith, wasn't because a gift of the Spirit. Paul recognized the man has the right currency to get the right thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, if you show up at Walmart and you get all your groceries and you pull out, you know, just random pieces of paper, they're going to say, that's the wrong thing. You can't get what you came here for. And that man was sitting there, and so many Christians, they show up, and they're looking for the gift of the Spirit. They show up and they're looking for the anointing to hit them. And they're looking for the pastor to have the right faith or the prayer group to have the faith for them. But the way it worked mostly in Jesus' ministry was the way it worked here. The receiver or the recipient of the blessing had to have faith. And so we could say here that this man, his life was changed because he had faith for it. Amen. Had he not had faith for it, Paul would have kept right on preaching, because the only reason Paul stopped is because Paul perceived something and Paul was made aware of something. And so you could say this, that faith can change your world, praise God. All things are possible by faith, the Bible says. But on the same, in the same light, just looking at a different way now, if faith can get you healed, look what a lack of faith can do as well. Go to Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. Again, we looked at these last week. What were we trying to show you last week? That you have to have faith. We are in a society, like I talked about in the offering, give me, give me, give me. I want it easy. I want it now. I want it quick. You know, drive-through mentality, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's seeped into our spiritual lives, into the church. It's tried to make the Bible conform to that. And that's not how things work. In the Word, and we want that minister to call out our name. We want that minister, you know, how many times, I'll just tell you the truth, I've been in meetings with powerful men and women of God where I've gotten over into the carnal, easy, drive-through, handout mentality where I'll tell you the truth, I've sat there in my seat and in my head thought, man, I wish they'd call me out. Man, I just wish they'd have a word for me. Man, I wish the thing I'm going through, they would say something to me. Well, all that is carnality. All that, I'm ringing just a little bit up here, Justin. Can you turn me down just a little bit? The ring, I don't know what that's doing, but it's unless there's a ring in my ear. Unless I'm hearing things and losing my mind, which you never know. But anyways, I've been in meetings where I just, oh, if they just call it out. And the whole time I was sitting there, with a force that would change it without a minister calling me out, without some powerful anointing needing to have hands laid on me. It's called the force of faith, praise God. That man there that day at Paul's feet, he got it because he was in faith. But then in Mark 6 and verse 1, it says, Jesus went out from there, came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where does this man have these things? What wisdom is this has given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? That's the tone they had. It said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended with him. But Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, his own house. And he could there do no mighty work except lay his hands upon a few sick folk and heal them. So a few got it, but a whole lot didn't. And he says why in verse 6. He marveled because of their personal unbelief. So this situation, people walked away from a meeting where the power of God was available, where there was an anointing, where there was healing that was available to them. They walked away without getting what was theirs because why? They didn't have faith. The man with Paul got it. Why? Because he had faith. These people left and Jesus said, the reason you're leaving the way you came is because you don't have faith. Now, I know we don't like the barrel of the gun to be turned on us. We don't like to be accused. We don't like to be told we're wrong. But how many of us have been stuck in the same situations, in the same problems, over and over again, and leaving the same way, going into a new year, the same way we did last time. And the problems could be why we don't have faith. We see that in the Bible as a principle. Now, again, I don't know if you have faith or not. That's between you and the Father. But remember what faith is. Faith is a persuasion. It's a convincing. It's happening no matter what. I don't care what it feels like, what it looks like. I am sold out. Amen? I have never seen the sun rise on January 17th, 2021. I've never seen it. But I am so convinced tomorrow the sun is going to rise. That's being persuaded, something I haven't seen, something I've never experienced. It's going to happen. You can't talk me out of it. That's what belief is. Amen? That's what belief is. And you have to ask yourself, is that how I'm approaching this problem? Because if you're not, your faith might be the issue. Because Jesus said, hey, people, you didn't receive today, not because of the devil, not because of any other circumstance except your faith wasn't where it needed to be. And just like the same thing Paul said, your faith's where it needs to be. You get something. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so in Luke chapter 5 and verse 15, just a real quick verse here. Luke 5 and verse 15 says, "But so much more there was a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and be healed." Remember when Jesus said only a few sick folk and they left, he marveled at their unbelief? He was going to fix that unbelief. How? The Bible says he went round about their villages teaching and preaching the word. What was he doing? Proclaiming. Why? Faith cometh by hearing. Their problem was faith. So he said, I'm going to deal with the faith problem. Only one way you can deal with the faith problem. They got to hear more. Amen? And so here these people needed to be healed, but you can't be healed without the first thing, because the first thing is what brings the faith. And so we're talking about faith for healing in this service, or in this series, and getting you to hear some more things on the subject of healing. Why? So you can walk into your healing. We don't just preach this. You know, one of the things that I love about the ministry God's given me is, you know, and I've been criticized for saying this before, I'm not against the book of Revelation. I've had people question me about this, several people. So if you're one of the people, you might not have been against me or down on me, but I've had several people. You don't preach on it. You talk about not preaching on it. Listen, the book of Revelation, there is some things in there in the beginning with the letters to the churches and some of the things we can read. The majority of the book of Revelation doesn't even ever going to ever pertain to any of our lives. We are already going to be in heaven when a lot of that's going on down here. It's not going to help you in your day-to-day life. And besides the fact, that's not how the Holy Ghost has led me to preach or study even. Just the same way, I am not led by the Holy Ghost to study the book of Leviticus very much. And I'll bet you're not either. Who here is spending the majority of your time in Leviticus? If you are, what are you doing there? I think you've gotten lost. We need to reprogram the GPS and get you into the epistles of the New Testament where you're supposed to live. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, but what I was saying is, one of the things that I know my calling is to help people live victoriously. Help people actually see change in their life. I remember hearing Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy years ago, and Pastor Nancy talked about how their ministry was, it was a ministry that helped people where they were at, where they live. And that's the way my ministry is. Give you something that you can apply to your life that will actually see change in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm excited for Jesus to come back. I'm excited for the rapture and all that that's going to happen. But right now and tomorrow, it's not going to help you. But this will, praise God, this will help you. So anyways, now I want to make a statement before I tell you what get into what we're talking about tonight. This is a principle you have to understand when it comes to this tonight, because I sent that slick text out. And there's a truth I'm going to preach tonight that I believe this is the end all to anybody's problem with faith for healing. If you can get this revelation inside you and have it become real to you, or realize, like I put in that text, you'll never have an issue with whatever you're facing ever again. But you need to understand a principle. Just because something is or can be doesn't mean it will be or that you'll benefit from it. Now, I want to give you an example, because that's pretty wordy and a lot to, what's he mean by this? Just because something is or can be doesn't mean you'll benefit from it. For example, I don't have it out here, but my iPhone. I love my iPhone. I love when they have updates. I love all the new. I love getting a new iPhone, the different features and things. And I would say that I'm probably in the middle of the road as far as fully executing and getting out of my iPhone all that there is to get out of it. But I know people that are on the way other end of the spectrum, and if they can just send a text and make a phone call, that's all they're getting out of their iPhone. Now, my point is this, that iPhone has so many more capabilities and things to make your life easier, to bless your life, to help an organization for resources and tools and different things that I'm still learning, you know, and I appreciate what I do. But there's people that have that phone. They have that capability, but they're not experiencing what it is there. It's there for them, and it has that potential, but they're not experiencing it. It's kind of like, you remember years ago I talked about New York State had come out with an article, and I looked it up, and or someone looked it up for me in the church and found out I was one of these people, that there's millions and millions of dollars in New York State that are unclaimed funds. That and that you can search your name and go to that website, the New York State, whatever website is, just Google it, and you can type your name in, and you can find out if you're one of these people. And I was one of these people. I had a few $100s, and I can't remember what it was for, and someone reached out, and they said, "Are you this Michael Anderson?" I said, "I am him. There's money for you." Well, here's the truth was, it was. The money was there. It was in my name. It was available to me. But just because it was there, and just because it was, did not mean I was benefiting from it. And you have to understand that with this principle that I'm going to share with you today, with the with this thing that I'm going to tell you that's going to be the be-all, end-all for you for faith, and will solve all your problems, especially when we understand that the trigger or the switch that gets things going is faith, right? We know that Jesus, think of Jesus as the iPhone. Think of Jesus as the unclaimed funds in Mark chapter 6. There he was. There was something there, a resource that was there in their midst for their life, and they weren't receiving of it. Why? Faith was the problem. And so tonight when I share you what is and what's there, just because it's there and just because it is, if you don't mix faith with it, it will not activate for you, and it won't matter that you have the iPhone. It won't matter that there's unclaimed funds. Until you do something with it, you won't receive of it. Now, this is one of these messages that when you hear what I'm going to share, I'm just going to tell you, it's not going to be earth-shattering, groundbreaking revelation. What I mean by that is, I've heard this before. But that's the problem. We get into the mentality of, I've heard this before. Has it become real to you? Has it done what 2 Peter 1 and verse 19 says? Have you given attention to it and heeded it long enough so that the day star arose in your heart and that now became your reality? How you talk, how you live, how you think, what you expect. If it hasn't, then the Word has not become, you have not known the Word or become one with the Word. Knowing the Word, becoming one with the Word, and having the Word be the day star rise in your heart is when you are more convinced that what this says is going to be your life rather than what you can see, feel, or hear, or look at. Hallelujah. And most people are not there. Most people aren't even close to being there with healing. If you were at that place with healing, it wouldn't matter what the doctors have said to you. It wouldn't matter what the symptoms are saying in your body. You would walk around with a smile and a giddy up in your step and a shout in your voice knowing, healing is mine. I'm the healer of the Lord. It's the same way financially. Most people wallow around in what their checkbook says, what their bills say, and they're just showing that what the Word has said has not become alive to them. It's not become their reality. They've not renewed their mind to it. Hallelujah. So when you hear this tonight, oh, I've heard that. No, no, no. I'm telling you that a revelation of this, where the day star actually arises in your heart and you give heed to this, it changes everything when it comes to divine healing. Amen? Are you ready for it? Go to Romans 8 and verse 11. And we're going to break this down. And we'll come back to it at the end because sometimes you put something out there, and then you got to explain it a little bit, and then people, the light bulbs start going on, you know. Romans 8 and verse 11. Now look at what the Bible says. Again, we're talking about health and healing here. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if that Spirit dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means to make alive, your natural bodies, by his spirit that dwells in you. Now, again, what am I saying? This verse, if you'll give attention to it, and we'll break it down a little bit tonight to help you, if you'll give attention to it, a light bulb will eventually go off for you, and no symptom, and no doctor's report, and no pain in your body will have any place to move you into fear, anxiety, doubt, and unbelief ever again. It will be a full-on expectation like Abraham with Isaac. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I see. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I'm hearing. I'm only living out of the revelation that healing is mine. Let me read it again. But if the same Spirit, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall make alive your mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in you. So let's break this down. So the Bible says that there was a Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. And if that Spirit dwells in us, it will also do something to our natural bodies. Now, here's the thing, though. We need to find out what rose Jesus from the dead. And thank God the Bible tells us. Go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. I'm going to show you what the Bible says raised Jesus from the dead, because the Bible says if that Spirit that we find out that if whatever raised Jesus from the dead, if that same thing's in you, the result is your natural body changes. Amen. So let's find out what raised him from the dead. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. This Jesus has God raised up. So what are we asking the question? What rose Jesus from the dead? Well, this verse says God did it. Okay? Now, the Bible talks about more things. Let's go now to John chapter 2 and verse 18. So right off the bat, we know God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, I know we know this stuff, but do we know this stuff? Because when you understand what raised Jesus from the dead, and then the light bulb goes off and says, oh my gosh, the same thing that raised him from the dead is the same thing that's in me. That's the point. John chapter 2, and verse 18, then answered the Jews and said to him, what sign do you show us unto us that you do these things? Jesus answered and said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, they thought he was talking about the natural structure. After he died, the disciples remembered, oh, he was talking about himself. But notice who Jesus said would raise himself up. He said, I'll do it. So now we see what raised Jesus from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus raised Jesus from the dead. Are you following me now? Go to 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. I was so excited when the Holy Ghost led me to preach this way because it'll change your life. Because it changed my life. Praise God, it did. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. So God raised him from the dead, the Bible says. Jesus raised himself from the dead, he said. He said, destroy the temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. He's talking about himself. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also once suffered for sins, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened. That word quickened is made alive. How was he made alive? By the Spirit. What's that? The Holy Ghost. So what raised Jesus from the dead? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. All three had a part in raising him from the dead. Now, we can jump over real quick to 1 John 5 and verse 7, just so we make sure to look at this. It kind of is a little trippy to our natural minds to understand how this can be, but we just accept the truth of the Word of God, and we know that it is. But in 1 John 5 and verse 7, it says, there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word. Remember, the Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's talking about Jesus there. The Father, the Word, or the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They're separate yet one. Again, a little trippy to your mind a little bit. How do we wrap our minds around that? But the Bible says, even though they're separate, they have their own personalities and parts and ministries to play, they are still one. Hard for the mind to comprehend, but our spirit can grasp it. Praise God. But it says that they're one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are the same. The Holy Ghost is not less than Jesus, and Jesus is not greater than the Holy Ghost. The Father is not greater than the Son, and the Son is not greater than the Father. Why? They are the same. But the Bible says all three had a part in the raising of Jesus from the dead. So ultimately, what you really could say to really put it all into one and shake it up is that what raised Jesus from the dead? God raised Jesus from the dead. Why? The Holy Ghost is God, Jesus is God, and God is certainly God. Praise God. Now go back to Romans 8 and verse 11. Hallelujah. Most Christians do not have this revelation and are not living this way. Let me promise you that. Are not living from this realization. Romans 8 and verse 11. But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Well, we found out what that Spirit was that raised Jesus from the dead. What was it? It was God. It was Jesus. It was the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It was God. You could say God. God is a Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth, because why? He is a Spirit. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So now everything in the rest of the verse, because the rest of the verse is glorious. The rest of the verse says that if what raised Jesus from the dead, if that dwells in us, then the result will be a quickening or a making alive in our natural body. Now, again, it's important that you understand, because if you sit there and say, well, my natural body's not been made alive in the sense of, I'm still going through this sickness, I still have this symptom. Remember, you can have the iPhone, and you can have all the capabilities of the iPhone, but until you learn and get a revelation on the iPhone, it won't bless you. You can have the government tell you, you got money in your name. You can. It could belong to you. It could be in your name. But until you get a revelation that money's not working for you. And we might learn here in a second that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead actually does dwell in you. But yet you're not seeing any quickening. You're not seeing, well, it must not be in me if I'm not seeing it. Or maybe you're an ignorant iPhone user. Maybe. Maybe you got free money sitting there and you've just been ignorant for your whole life. I don't know. But let's find out, does that Spirit, and we already know the answer to this, but we're doing our mind to some things. Does it dwell in us? Well, we looked at God, we looked at Jesus, and we looked at the Holy Ghost. Well, we need to find out, is God in us? Is Jesus in us? Is the Holy Ghost in us? Well, let's let the Word do the talking. 1 John 4 and verse 4, praise God. Hallelujah. 1 John 4 and verse 4. This stupid mentality that the devil has tried to get to people, that if it is, it will just come to pass, and if it's not coming to pass, it must just not be. It must not be. That is gets people sitting on their hands, doing nothing. We have a part to play. 1 John 4 and verse 4. Oh, where are you here? You are of who? God. Who's the subject here? God. The verses before, 3, 2, and 1, talk about God. Praise the Lord. And then it talks after these verses about God. So the subject is God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is where? In you. Well, who's the subject here? God. The Bible is telling you that God is in you. Well, why should that make us excited? Because the Bible also said that God raised Jesus from the dead. And if the same thing that raised Jesus from the dead, if we find it in us, the result can be a quickening of our flesh. Well, the Word just tells us right there. God is in us. Praise the Lord. Go to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Well, we saw that Jesus raised Himself from the dead. He said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up. He had a part to play in Him raising from the dead. Why? Because He is God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Praise the Lord, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. Well, why should that make us excited? Because we saw that Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead. And if what raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, we can have a changing in our bodies. Well, there it says right there that 2 Corinthians 13:5, Kimlai. 2 Corinthians number 2. 2 Corinthians 13, it's up there now. Okay. She's pointing to me. I'm like, well, I'm pointing at you. We're having a pointing contest here. Praise God. It says, Jesus Christ is in you. Do you see that? Well, we've got two of the three now. Right? Because if the same things that raised Jesus dwells in us, oh, we've got our ticket punched. Our ticket to healing has been punched. Well, we knew God raised Jesus from the dead. We know Jesus had a part raised himself from the dead. And we found out now that God and Jesus are both in us. There was one part left that raised Jesus from the dead. Remember, the Holy Spirit quickened Jesus. Now we have to find out. I mean, we're all on the edge of our seats now. I know. You're wondering, are we going to lose it here? Have we come this far? Does the Holy Ghost dwell in us? John chapter 14 and verse 16. John 14 and verse 16. Oh, man. John 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he shall abide with you forever. Now, notice who he's talking about here, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Ghost. Now, look at this, though. Whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him. Oh, here we go. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. The Bible says God's in you, Jesus is in you, and the Holy Ghost is in you. Now again, trippy to our minds, they're all the same, yet the Bible makes sure to separate them, but all three of those had a part to play in Jesus being raised from the dead. And the Bible says if we can find the same thing that raised Jesus from the dead, if we can find that in us, oh man, do we have it good. Hallelujah. Go back to Romans 8 and verse 11. So what am I saying to you right now? This doesn't come by just hearing it once and saying, oh, I know that. No, if you knew that, you would talk different. If you were aware of this, your fear would go out the window. What's the revelation? God in you. Now, let's take it in what we're talking about in sickness and disease. Because the Word of God says that the Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead, I don't know if you know this or not, but death is worse than sickness. Sickness, the ultimate advancement of sickness leads to death. Death is the harder, the worse, the stronger, the more bondage, the more chain is the death. That's where sickness progresses to if sickness isn't under control. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 11? For many among you are weak, sick, and sleep. The progression, it leads to death. And here it's telling you that there was a spirit that was able to break the chains and bondages of something worse than sickness. That if that spirit that did that is in you, then it will change or quicken or make alive your mortal or natural bodies. Glory to God. Now again, you might see this and say, I'm still taking medication. If God's so powerful and you get moving like this, you know, and you get the tone, you change your tone. If God's so powerful, he can do this, why do I still got to take my medication for this? Well, I don't know. It's not my fault you don't know how to, you know, do different things on your iPhone. It's not my fault you're not taking advantage of that money. Just because it's there doesn't mean it's going to work for you. And doesn't mean you're going to get all that ever is. Maybe you need some revelation, people. Maybe you need some faith worked up in you. It's the truth, because faith is the activator. It's when a person has that light bulb moment, the day star rising. That's the spiritual terminology for light bulb going off. Day star rises in your heart. We pay attention, we give heed to until that happens. When all of a sudden you have a revelation, holy cow, God's in me. The God that raised and defeated death is in my body, the very body that's given me problems. The very body that's off a little bit. The very body that's not working the way it should be. That is in me. There's no way then, this is what faith does, there's no way that can stay with that in me. And again, if you say, why isn't it happening? Remember, faith is the activator. When Paul perceived the guy had faith, it activated some things. When Jesus was there and there wasn't faith, it didn't work. This revelation of what? God in you. The God of the power of raising the dead to life in you. That's for the what purpose? To quicken. It's in there for the purpose to quicken or make alive your mortal flesh. That's in there. With that revelation, there's no sickness, no disease, no doctor's report, no symptom, nothing at all that for the rest of your life should trouble you. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5. Wow, wow, wow. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 5. He says that your faith, that's your belief, that's your rest, that's your assurance, that's your confidence, that's your persuasion, should not stand or rest, one translation says, in the wisdom of man. Oh, man. The body of Christ, oh, they need a lot of spankings for this one. Because I'll tell you what, about a lot of people in the body of Christ, you know how I know a lot of people in the body of Christ aren't living this way? Because the Lord showed me at the beginning of coronavirus, Pastor Mike. Now, I'm not here to brag because I'm in the Word. That means if I'm in the Word, I know where my faith's going to be up there. But in the beginning of the coronavirus, I wanted to proceed a certain way. I wanted to keep going a certain way. And the Holy Ghost said, you can't pastor the church based on your faith. You have to pastor people where they're at. Now, I'm not saying every single person. You know where you were, and you know what you're thinking. You know what your thoughts were. But I'm just here to tell you that the beginning of the coronavirus, the majority of the body of Christ were not having their faith rested in the power of God. No, no, not even close. It was in the wisdom of man, and they were hanging on to every word that men would say. Oh, they still do. The power of God is, oh, that's nice, but you know, we have to take natural precautions. You know why? That's not true. But you know why that's our go-to in the body of Christ? Because that's where people's faith lie, is in the natural. And so we stand up and we say it like it's some wisdom, some token of wisdom, and just being so spiritual by saying, but we have to be natural about some things. Because that's where most people's faith are at. Most people do not have a full persuasion in the power of God, because if you did, coronavirus, if the body of Christ as a whole would not have been moved by a virus and a pandemic, but were as moved by the power of God as they were a virus. Because why? Because in truth, no coronavirus has even a chance against the power of God. But you know what it does have a chance? Unbelieving Christians. Christians that have their faith in men, then it has a chance. The flu has no chance with the power of God. Sickness and disease, no sickness and disease can stand, can reign supreme. Again, I'm not saying throw natural wisdom out the window, but what I'm saying is that's been our badge of honor. But we got to be natural, and we use that as our excuse for our doubt and unbelief. It's the truth. Hallelujah. Most people's faith have rested in the wisdom of man. What their belief, they are, they make their decisions in life based on what man says, not the power of God. Oh, I might get in trouble after this one. That's okay. I'm always stirring up trouble somehow. You know how you know where if your faith is in the wisdom of man? Why are you even considering the thought that you might get the coronavirus? No, I'm asking serious. Why do we even entertain the thought that sickness should have, because it's happened so many times, it's normal. Why are we even entertaining the thought that sickness can touch this body? Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, that's extreme, Pastor Mike. It's extremely biblical, yes. And because it's so rare, because most people don't have this mentality. Most people are so used to getting the flu, so used to getting colds. Why? Because we've never learned to stand in faith. We've never been sold out to the power of God. That sickness is so normal, we just put up with it. And then when some radical guy stands up here and says, why are you even entertaining that you might get sick? If your faith was in the power of God, not only is it in the power of God to heal things, it's in the power of God to preserve, to protect as well. I guess we better go to Psalm 91 before you start thinking, what's wrong with him? What's he mad at? Psalm 91, come on, go there. You made me do it. You made me do it. Psalm 91. I know this isn't the reality and the revelation that most people are living out of. I had to learn it the hard way at the beginning. I mean, I had to come back after I sent out a slick text saying, we're not changing anything. We're going to keep going as normal. And the Holy Ghost said, no, you're not. And then I got to hear a message where Brother Hagin was talking, and Pastor Michael, I met with him, and he told me something Brother Hagin says, thank you, Lord, for my help. Where Brother Hagin had mentioned how most pastors preach from the level of their faith and not where the level of people are and don't bring people up and it just goes right over their head. I was like, no, you can't do that. People are actually, in my churches, afraid of the coronavirus. Wow. Yeah. I'm not saying it to be mean. I'm just saying, if you are afraid of the coronavirus, you have a place to place. You have a lot of room for improvement in your faith. Why? You're not supposed to be afraid of anything. Yeah. Jesus said, "Why? There's nothing to be afraid of. Even things are going to kill you. He reprimanded the disciples for being afraid of something they thought was going to kill them. He said, that's the wrong response. Amen. It's trying to bring you up higher. Oh, look at this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's a place of faith and the power of God right there. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I trust. Surely he'll deliver me from the snare of the fowler, the noisome pestilence. He'll cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Yeah, these things are going on, he's saying, but the person that's rested in him doesn't have to worry about touching them. And I know it's rare. We don't see this a lot in the body of Christ. And so you preach it, and you look like a radical, crazy person. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. What does that say? It won't come near you? But I thought we just had to get these things. Not if your faith is in the power of God. You don't have to get things. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, which is your refuge, even your Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague come near you. Now, why did Christians get coronavirus then? Well, I don't know where Christians' faith is at. I don't know. Are they sold out to the power of God? I don't know. I'm not here to judge anybody. But I'm just telling you that the Word says we can live in a place where no plague is even coming near us. That's what's available to us. I mean, either the Bible's true or it isn't. We got to take a stand. What are we going to believe? Nature and natural things and wisdom of man? Or are we going to actually be people? Because I'm going to tell you something. There's going to come things in our lifetime we're going to see with our eyes. You better have your faith in the power of God. Because there's going to be things that men are not going to be able to explain away and try to keep you safe on. And the power of God's going to be the only thing available. And when I say only thing, it makes it sound like it's disparaging to that. No, it's the best thing that will be only available because it's perfect. Glory to God. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon you shall trample under feet. Because you have set your love upon him, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He has known me because he knows me, because he knows my power, because he knows what's available to him. The person that knows the iPhone gets a lot more out of it than the person that doesn't. The person that knows their names on that list gets a benefit that a lot of people don't get with that money. He shall call upon me, verse 15, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. Oh, you never know when you're going to die. Well, I do after I have a long life and I'm satisfied. That's what I'm going. Yeah, but so-and-so and so-and-so, stop with that garbage. Stop having your faith in the wisdom of man. The word is the power of God. He says if you want to believe it, you can have a long life, not hell and misery, a long, satisfying life. That's why I love Brother Hagin. He'd always say, if you ever hear that I went and that I died, you'll know why. It's because I was satisfied. That's what he said. Glory to God. But what if I get it? I'm afraid of this. Yeah, because your faith's not in the power of God. Let me read you a story. Now, when we read this, you have to understand where your faith is. You can't be silly about things and get over your head in faith. What do I mean by that? Well, I heard Pastor Mike tell me this financial testimony, so I'm going to go out and do exactly what Pastor... I'm going to go out and get into a house that I can't afford either, and if your faith's not there, the money won't come. You have to know where you're at. And what do I mean by that? That doesn't mean you just throw away all that. Like people just, a great example is people just throw away medicine because they hear this. They think, oh, I'm doing something wrong if I'm taking medicine. No, nobody's saying that. But the power of God is much better than medicine. So take the medicine with faith that you're never going to have to take it again. But just throwing your medicine away tonight because you heard a faith message and your faith's not there, going to hurt your life. Don't do that. Take your medicine in faith. Go to the doctor in faith. Do these things by faith. Well, let me show you this. Now, when I read this, you have to understand something. He was like this not because of his anointing. And he was like this because of his pursuit of him. What you pursue and spend time is what you become proficient in. It's the truth. It's true. You know, I got really skilled at fielding ground balls and turning double plays and being really good with a glove and quick hands and quick feet. Why? I spent so many hours having ground balls hit to me, turning double plays. It became second nature to me. It was easy. The baseball field was easy for me. Why? I gave myself to it. I became proficient in it. I don't know how to change the oil in my truck. I don't know what tools to use. My father-in-law comes over to do stuff. He tells me to get this tool, and I real quick try to Google on my phone, what does he mean? I don't give myself to it at all, not proficient in it all. And I think it was just a couple weeks ago he was up, and he was hanging pictures in our house. And I said, Scott, I am sorry that your daughter had to marry me. I'm sorry that this is what you got for a son-in-law. You know, I apologize to him, so... at least I'm aware and kind about that. But I want to read you something about a man by the name of John G. Lake. Now again, when you read this, you don't just go out and start acting like John G. Lake. That people have preached that and expect that that's how you're... No, that this is what's available. John G. Lake was a minister early 1900s, you know. He had 100,000 confirmed medical healings, not just word of mouth, confirmed medical healings. There, Seattle, Washington, in the time that he was ministering there, was dubbed the healthiest city in America. He started churches and ministry. He was a mighty man of God. But listen to what John G. Lake's, listen to the revelation of somebody that has their faith in God's power. This is John G. Lake's testimony during the bubonic plague, which of course killed many, many people. He said, now watch the action of the law of life. Faith belongs to the law of life. Faith is the very opposite of fear. Faith has the opposite effect in the spirit and soul and body. Faith causes the spirit of man to become confident. It causes the mind of man to become restful and positive. A positive mind repels disease. Consequently, the emission of the Spirit destroys disease germs. Well, didn't the Bible say that if the same Spirit's on the inside of us, it will quicken the body? So those germs, those bad cells that are in you, the Spirit can what? Get rid of those things, change those things around? And because we were in contact with the Spirit of life, I and a little Dutch fellow with me went out and buried many of the people who had died from the bubonic plague. We went into the homes and carried them out, dug the graves and put them in. Sometimes we would put three or four in one grave. We never took the disease or got the disease. Why? Because of the knowledge that the law of life of Christ Jesus protects us. That law was working. Because of the fact that a man that by that action of his will puts himself purposely in contact with God, which most people don't do, most people have no contact with him, faith takes possession of this heart and the condition of his nature is changed. Instead of being fearful, he's full of faith. Instead of being absorbent and drawing everything to himself, his spirit repels sickness and disease. The Spirit of Christ Jesus flows through the whole being and emits through the hands, the heart, and from every pore of the body. During that great plague that I mentioned, they sent a government ship with supplies and a corps of doctors. One of the doctors sent for me and said, "What have you been using to protect yourself?" Our corps has this preventative and that preventative, which we use as protection, but we concluded that if a man could stay on the ground like you have with no protection and keep ministering to the sick and burying the dead, you must have a secret. Tell us what it is. I answered, "Brother, that is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I believe that just as long as I keep my soul in contact with the living God so that his Spirit is flowing into my soul and body, that no germ will ever attach itself to me, for the Spirit of God will kill it." He asked, "Don't you think that you had better use our preventatives?" I replied, "No, but doctor, I think that you would like to experiment with me. If you will go over to one of these dead people and take the foam that comes out of their lungs after death," he says, "put it under the microscope, you will see masses of living germs. You will find that they are alive until a reasonable time after a man is dead. You can fill my hand with them, and I will keep it under the microscope, and instead of these germs remaining alive, they will die instantly." They tried it and found it was true. They questioned, "What is that?" I replied, "That is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When a man's spirit and a man's body are filled with the blessed presence of God, it oozes out of the pores of your flesh and kills germs. Suppose, on the other hand, my soul had been under the law of death, which would be doubt and unbelief, and I were in fear and darkness. The very opposite would have been the result. The result would have been that my body would have absorbed the germs, these would have generated disease, and I would have died. How sad that we have in us the absolute force to quicken dead cells, cancer cells, viruses, bugs, different things, all sorts of things is in us. And yet it never gets activated. Why? People don't have a clue what's in them. Remember, faith is the activator. Without faith, it doesn't matter that it's there. It doesn't matter that it's available to you. Without faith, it doesn't get activated. And most people have no idea about the power of God. And maybe next week the Spirit of God allows me, we'll look at more looking into the power of God, because our faith should rest in the power of God. And that's what's in you. You have that in you, people. Let me read a verse to you, Acts chapter 2 and verse 24. Acts 2 and verse 24, we're almost done here. Close it down, pray, and get you home for heartbreak. I mean the Bills game. You know, I just set my bar low, that way I'm not disappointed. See, if you'll just learn to put your expectations with things like that at a low place, when they win, oh, you'll be doing the dance. Praise God. Say, "Well, that's not very much faith." Well, my faith rests only on the Word of God. When you find me a scripture that tells me I can believe that God is working for the Bills, oh, man, I'll jump on board with you. Acts 2. People get so mad at me when I talk like this about the Bills. And I'll tell you the truth. The majority of the reason I do it is to make them mad. It's the truth. I love to push buttons and to get in there and just poke and poke and prod. "Pastor, where's your faith? You're a faith preacher. Blah, blah, blah." I do it on purpose, you know. There ain't no bigger Bills fan out there than me. You should see me growing up. I'm telling you. I'm not saying I was a greater Bills fan than you, but I was obsessed since I was a little boy. So don't come to me with your stuff. Just keep it to yourself. Notice this, Acts 2:24. "Whom God has raised up. There it is. Now remember, that spirit that raised him up, there was a force that raised him up. It dwells in you. And if it dwells in you, what's it do? It changes your body. Whom God raised up, notice this, having loosed the pains of death. I love this. Because it, what? The pains of death, the force of death, was not even possible that it should be holding of it. And I'll read it in newer translations. Can you pull up in the Amplified, Kim Lai, to bring this out to you? Because this will help you and bless you. Verse 24, don't make me point at you again now. Come on. But God raised him up, liberating him from the pains of death. Look at this. Seeing that it was not possible for him to be controlled or retained by it. What's it saying? The force that death had with that spirit that raised him up, there was no match. It was impossible for that force to remain in comparison to what raised him up. Now let me read out the Message Bible to help tug on the string some more. The Message Bible says, but God untied the death ropes and raised him up. Death was no match for him. Wow. Death was no match for the spirit that raised Jesus up. What did we already say about death and sickness? Death trumps sickness. Sickness leads to death. Death is the ultimate. And the Bible says that there was a force that death itself had no match against. And it was the same force that dwells in you. That means that that's what's in you, what you're going through and facing, if you'll get your mind renewed to it, is no match at all. You know what would be no match? Me stepping in the ring with Mike Tyson. No match. You stepping in the ring with a prize fighter nowadays, a heavyweight fighter, he's not going to be trembling too much. He's not going to be too worried about you. Amen? He's going to step in there. He's going to laugh at us. No match. Impossible. Death itself, the worst variableness of sickness, death, was no match to that which is in you. What do you think cancer looks like to the Spirit of God? It looks like Mike Anderson against Muhammad Ali. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. What do you think the coronavirus looks like to God? It looks like Mike Anderson in the ring against Mike Tyson. No match. What if you had that revelation? Let me tell you something. This became so real to me. I kicked it into a high gear with that thing in my body for 2 years that was in there, and it was just so much pain, so much darkness, so evil. And I would remember saying, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that had no match for that spirit, it's in me. It quickens my mortal body. Therefore, because of the truth of the word, it's driving sickness and disease out. It's driving pain out of my body. The power of God is working in me. And I would say it every day, and I'd confess it every day, and I'd worship him according to the truth. I wouldn't walk around with, why is this happening to me? What if this never changes? This is so terrible. I can't believe I have to live my life like this. No, not when I got into faith. Got into faith, it was just, Father, I thank you. This is no match. It can't stand. It can't stay alive. It's driving it out. Just like John G. Lake, so confident. Put the plague in my hand and watch what happens to it. It can't stand the person that has the revelation of the Spirit of God running through their body. Hallelujah. You see why I said that you can't get this with one feeding? You have to go home and put this in you until you realize, first of all, wow, what raised Jesus from the dead? Wow, that's in me. And what's that for in me? It's to quicken me and make me alive. Light bulbs will go off. The day star will arise. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. I'm stirred up right now. I am stirred up right now. Praise God. Praise God.
We don't have to wait for the gift of the Spirit. We don't have to wait for a word. We don't have to wait for some healing evangelist to sweep through our town. No, faith in you. And Father, may people have a revelation of what dwells on the inside of them. That which is in them, Father, may they know. Hallelujah. God in us. God with us. Praise God. This will translate into other areas. Fear. How can fear stay with a revelation that God's with you? How can depression stay with a revelation that God's with you? Oh, this fixes so much. When we have a revelation that Jehovah Jireh dwells in us, El Shaddai, the more than enough, the providing God, how can lack trouble us anymore? It can't. It can't. Glory to God. We praise you, Father. Come on and worship Him with me. Worship Him with me. Father, may people get a revelation of this. May people hear it and hear it until they get kicked over into the place of faith. The place where they realize it doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what the smartest doctors have said. It doesn't matter what the reports are saying. All that matters is the Spirit that raised Jesus, that destroyed the grip of death. That Spirit's in me, working to drive out sickness and disease. It will drive out depression. It will drive out oppression. It will drive out fear. It will drive out anxiety. It'll drive out all that is of the devil. Praise God. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we know we're a family here tonight. We have all received Jesus. The Spirit of God's in us. But if by chance you're watching on live stream, I'm speaking to you online now, and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, He wants heaven for you. He's made it simple. He's made it easy. Romans 10 and verse 9 is your outline. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. That's it. I had somebody this week tell me, they said, if me being, this was the exact words out of their mouth, if me being a moral good person and being kind to people is not enough to get me in, then I don't want to go. And I thought to myself, that's not enough to get you in. Your good works can't get you in. And thankfully, someone like me, my bad works couldn't keep me out. If I can believe in Jesus and receive Him, I'm saved. So if you're watching, you say, I've never received Jesus, but I believe in Him. When this sermon is over, when we turn that live stream off, get on your knees and cry out to Him and say, Father, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died and rose again. That's not going to come from your head. It's not going to come from your flesh. It's going to come from your heart. It's faith is of the heart. You confess that and you believe that. And you say, I believe in Him. I asked Him as my Lord and my Savior. If you'll pray that way, God will do His part. He'll save you. Your life will change. The Spirit of God will come in on the inside of you, make you brand new. And then we just ask you to reach out to me. Give me a phone call. Send me an email. And we will get you started on what's next for you. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. We magnify your holy name. Of course, if anybody needs prayer at the end of service, you come on forward. We'll lay hands on you and we'll agree. Say, well, but what about this laying on of hands? No, it's biblical. It's good. It's a point of contact. It's a way to release our faith. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying is you don't need that to happen. Praise God. But it's available and it is by the word, and so we can receive that. So if you want that, come on forward. Father, we love you tonight. We're just so grateful, so thankful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you dismiss, don't forget, you can go ahead and turn that off.